Welcome to another episode of the Sisters in Christ podcast. And joining me in studio today is my sister in Christ, Pam.
Hi, Tamara.
Welcome, Pam.
Good to be here.
We're talking about the family that prays together. Sometimes, Pam, the hardest part about prayer isn't starting. It is keeping it alive. Life gets busy, schedules collide. Some days we barely have time to breathe, much less gather the family for prayer. But even in the rush of everyday life, prayer still calls to us. It's the gentle whisper in the morning, the quiet thank you at night, the quick plea whispered under our breath between meetings or before difficult conversations. Prayer doesn't have to be formal to be powerful. It is not about perfect words. It's about a willing heart. When we invite God into the small spaces of our day, the school drop-offs, the kitchen conversations, the moments of laughter and even tension, something holy happens. Our homes become sanctuaries, not because they are flawless, but because God is welcome there. Every prayer, no matter how short, keeps the fire burning. And when we pass that fire on, teaching our children that God listens, that He cares, that He walks with us, we build a legacy far greater than wealth or status. We build faith that lasts for generations. Scripture reminds us in Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Prayer is a means of grace, one of the ways God sanctifies His people daily. The discipline of continual prayer reflects our dependence on His sustaining power. Families who pray regularly live out that conviction together, trusting God's sovereign heir and providential care. So it's that time now to get your peppermint mocha, your warm chai tea, Pam, or whatever your favorite festive drink. And join Pam and I as we talk about how to keep the prayer flame alive, not just on special occasions or Sundays, but in the rhythm of real everyday life. Pam, welcome again.
Good to be here tomorrow.
You ready to talk about this very important topic?
I am definitely ready.
Pam, in the busyness of modern life, how can families make prayer a living rhythm, something that flows through their day instead of being squeezed into the margins?
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." And I like that you said in your introduction that a prayer doesn't have to be long to be powerful. I know for me, I've experienced where starting something is the easy part. Mm-hmm. It's the consistency that is the problem. Yeah. You know, we start a new year and we make all kind of plans. And I have, you know, committed to this book that I was reading at the beginning of the year, that I'm going to read 10 pages each night. Mm-hmm. And for the first 2 months, I was doing so good, Tamara. And then life happens. I'm still not finished the book. I only have a few more pages left, but I'm still not finished with the book. So starting something for me is the easy part, but it's that consistency that creates a challenge. And that's how prayer is for me.
Yeah.
Yes, we start it, but constantly praying without ceasing. But the thing that makes it easier is what you said in your introduction as well. Do it every day, on every occasion, mm-hmm. and it doesn't have to be long. Mm-hmm. In the car drive, you can pray. Yes. We have technology now. So before, if you are praying and calling out God in the car, someone may think that, okay, what's happening with her? She's the only one in a car and her mouth is moving, mm-hmm. but something must be wrong. But we have technology. We could be seen as been talking mm-hmm. to someone on the phone. So wherever it is, make it a lifestyle that right. it doesn't matter where you are and what you are doing, you can pray. You don't even have to be audible. You can pray in your heart, yes. inviting God into every situation in your life.
I'm reminded of the scripture that says that we ought to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And that's important because sometimes even, okay, just simple, you're waiting for your lunch. Mm-hmm. You're wondering where these people are. Mm-hmm. You're hungry. And you pray to the Lord and all of a sudden, like, somebody brings some fruits, mm-hmm. they drop it on the table. You come into the office, mm-hmm. you skip breakfast. Lord, I didn't have breakfast. You arrive, some cookies or some freshly baked mm-hmm. goods are there. And so even in the simple moment like that where you're hungry, yeah. you remember Samson? You remember yeah. when he took the honey mm-hmm. out of, you know, like God provides yes. in the moment of the need. Mm-hmm. And it's not only just talking to him about the need, it's about talking to him in prayer, thanking him
yes.
for what he has done for mm-hmm. you. He got you to work safely, mm-hmm. you know. And when we get into that posture, that attitude of prayer, then throughout the day, we can continue to commune with our Lord and Savior in everything that we have to do.
See, when we're consistent and talking, it changes us.
Yes.
We are first acknowledging that he is God. He is Almighty God, and we can come to him with anything. Petition and praise.
Yes.
And no matter what the situation.
Right. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us. Mm-hmm. So prayer is not an optional exercise. As a believer, this is something we should be doing as a part of our everyday journey with the Lord. It's a continual posture of the heart, and it's shaped by God's Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we can do alone. We need the Spirit's help to help carry our prayers. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes, the word says, we don't even know what we ought to pray.
But the Spirit helps us.
The Spirit helps us mm-hmm. in our weakness mm-hmm. that we don't know. So he knows the heart of God and mm-hmm. he taps into that and he helps us in our prayers.
And it should be natural and not necessarily forced. And when we are talking to him constantly, that's when it becomes natural. When I'm constantly talking to God about any situation, sometimes, you know, I consider myself to be a moderate driver in terms of speed. I consider myself to be moderate. But sometimes I can, you know, push on that pedal a little hard. Yeah. And then I'm prompted, oh, God, help me to avoid accidents. God, I don't want anybody to hit me and I don't want to hit right. anybody. Help me to avoid accidents. And I basically do that tomorrow. Every morning I'm driving to and from work. It may seem simple to others, but for me, it's important for me to yes. arrive safely because sometimes you are driving and you get distracted and you just slam brakes in the nick of time yeah. and you'd be like, whoa, God, thank you. If right. I didn't do it then, I might have had an accident. Yeah. And so in every area, in every situation, we should talk to him because when we talk to God constantly, mm-hmm. we are changed.
Yes. Our hearts are transformed. Mm-hmm. And we should find creative ways. Mm-hmm. As a family, we're talking about the family that prays together. You can pray in the car on your way to school. And one thing I know in my own house, and I'm really struggling with, making sure that we pray over meals. I mean, yes. not all the time we eat together around the family table. When we eat together around the family table, that happens. But sometimes one person gets home before the other, the older children, and they would eat and then the younger. And did you bless your food? Did you give God thanks for providing you that meal? Did you ask him to bless it and let it do your body good? Because the little blessing over the food and asking it to do the body good can keep you from a lot of disease and sickness. Yeah. We take it for granted. Yeah.
And like the parable of the five loaves and two fish, you know, it multiplies.
It multiplies.
God, thank you for this meal. Bless it. And he multiplies it that you have meal every day
yes.
to feed your family. And it's also training the younger ones. When parents do it, it's training the younger ones that every time you sit and have a meal, you give God thanks.
You remember in elementary school,
mm-hmm.
thank you for the world so sweet.
Thank you for the food we eat.
it was training our little hearts then mm-hmm. that it's important to thank God for what he has provided for you mm-hmm. and be grateful mm-hmm. for what you have.
And even when I'm at dinner with people who probably don't necessarily believe in praying for their meal, I still quietly thank God.
Yes.
And ask him to bless the meal. I wouldn't do it audibly in the front of people because I don't want to offend anybody, but I still quietly thank him for my meal.
Yes. And that's important for us as believers, being thankful. We saw Jesus did it when he lifted up the loaves and the fish and he blessed it.
Yes.
He prayed to the Father to bless it and then he gave it and it was multiplied. So let's remember that even in the simplest things and then involving our children, just using simple words. We said, thank you for the words we'll see. Thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. Thank you for everything. And so involving children in that gratitude of prayer helps them to build their faith within the whole soul. And it's grace is not confined to adults.
No, it's for those little children too. And they need it, Tamara, because they have their own challenges and their own issues. They need it. My little nephew, I used to do devotions with him and his mom as he drove to school when he was much younger. I'd be on the speakerphone and we'd go through the process. And I don't do it as much now. They do it together. And when she traveled last year, I had to watch him. And so we are headed to school in the car. And so I would tell him, you pray. And he said, Anipa, I don't know how to pray. He was probably about 6 or 7. I don't know how to pray. I said, yes, you just talk to God. And I told him what you should say. Thank God for blessing you. Thank God for waking up this morning that you have all your faculties. I told him that you have your hands, your feet, your eyes. And I said, just thank him. And so he started. And you know what he did when he started to pray? He remembered prayers that my mom, his grandmother, would say. And he started to use those words. That's all he knew at that point.
Yes.
And then he built confidence. And now he prays.
Right. Generational.
Yeah.
Passing on the spirit of prayer in words to the next generation.
Yep.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer becomes part of the family rhythm when it flows with love.
Yes.
Not pressure.
No pressure.
And the Spirit leads us as believers to delight in prayer and not to dread it. We don't have to dread. Now, sometimes we're fearful to go before the Lord because we know there's some things we need to get right. And like I said in the last episode, tell him about it.
Yes.
Let him know where you are, where you have fallen from. Seek his forgiveness because he's faithful and just. And you make your request. Talk to him.
And you know, Tamara.
Don't run. He knows.
That's the time when you want to go to him.
Yes.
It's when you feel that there are some things in your life that are not pleasing to him.
Yes.
Don't run from him during that time. Run to him because he can help you and he will help you if you are sincere and if you go to him believing that he is able to do whatever he says he will do and you ask him to do.
And he wants you to come.
Yes.
He wants you to come. He's waiting. When we think about the prodigal son, you know, the father was there waiting for him to return. So if you have been in a place where you're far from the Lord, you've been doing things your own way, and you want to start a new year right, talk to God about it. Right where you are.
Run to him.
Run to him. Mm-hmm. Let him know. You don't have to be in the church pew.
No.
It'll be good if you can go and talk to someone at a church, but you need to talk to God where you are. He hears you. He wants to hear from you. Pam, when we look at the stories of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, Daniel in Daniel 6, Elijah and Paul and Silas, each story shows a believer whose life of circumstances changed because they prayed. Mm-hmm. How might our homes and our hearts begin to change if prayer became as natural to us as our daily conversations?
Prayer is powerful, and it's a gift that God has given us. We know the story about Hannah, where she and another of her husband's wife had conflict.
Mm-hmm.
The other woman had children.
Mm-hmm.
Not one child, had children. But Hannah, who her husband loved, didn't have any.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one thing if you are married and you want a child,
mm-hmm,
and you don't have it. But it's another thing when the other woman has children and they taunt you.
Jesus, keep me there.
It's one thing, you know, you figure, okay, I have no children. But then the other one that has,
mm-hmm,
they taunt you. And Hannah was in distress.
Yes.
And she cried out to God.
You heard the word you use? Distress.
Yes. Because the woman taunted her. She knows she can't have any children.
Yes.
And she cried out to God.
Mm-hmm.
And it said when she was in the temple, she was praying. Her mouth was moving, but
no
she
words.
Wasn't heard.
Audible.
And the priest came and thought she was drunk. And when she explained to him that, no, this isn't drunkenness, this is me crying out to God,
Lord,
he said to her, go and receive that which you ask the Lord. And not only did God bless Hannah with a child, but he strengthened her faith. Because after he said that, she got up, washed herself, went in with her husband, and she conceived.
My Lord.
See?
She received it by faith.
Yes, before anything even happened. She got it. So God not only blessed her and gave her and her husband a child, he also strengthened her faith. And that's what prayer does. Not only do we receive what God has for us, but it transforms us as well. And Hannah's story, to me, is encouragement to persons out there.
Mm-hmm.
If you want something of God, go before him. Yes, we talked about how sometimes it's just a simple words. It's one statement. Father, forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
Father, give me wisdom. Father, bless me. But sometimes you got to tarry.
The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
So sometimes you got to go before him and tarry for that thing and believe that he will give it to you in his timing.
Yes, yes, yes. And when we talk about Hannah, Hannah came to God with years of disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Years of disappointment. And prayer didn't just open the womb for her.
Mm-hmm.
It actually healed her heart.
Yes.
So there was multiple things going on that blessing. Get up from there, mm-hmm, believe God, mm-hmm, and watch him work, mm-hmm, in your life. So the inward change reflects the Spirit's work in her life that, mm-hmm, I can trust God,
yeah,
with my disappointments. I can trust God that he is going to work this out for my good,
mm-hmm,
and he's going to bring about my request.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, she didn't just go, Lord, see me, see what this woman doing.
Yeah.
She wept, mm-hmm, bitterly.
Mm-hmm.
She was in distress,
yeah,
like you said.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he heard and he answered.
And what I like is God transformed her pain into purpose.
Yes.
See, she could have gotten all caught up into dealing with this woman.
Mm-hmm.
She could have gotten all caught up into, okay, you may have the children, but I have the man heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to deprive you. I'm going to make life difficult for you. No. She turned, like we said earlier, she, mm-hmm, ran to God.
Yes.
The one that she knew can make a difference in her life.
Nah.
And God came through for her.
And guess what? When she went to him, her hands were clean.
Yes. Yes.
Anyone who comes to God have to have a clean heart and clean hands. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a tit for tat, butter for fat thing.
Yes.
I'm not getting into that with you. I know where I am. And the one who can open the womb is well able to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something for all of us as women.
Yeah.
You know, we might be in a place where it's on our jobs, whether it's in our family life, wherever we may be. And we're in a place where we're distressed.
Yeah.
Some things are happening. The injustice are taking place. Mm-hmm. We're being reviled. Mm-hmm. We know that Jesus was reviled. Mm-hmm. And scripture says, when he was reviled, he reviled not.
Yes.
He didn't return it, but he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges rightly. And that's what Hannah did.
And that's so important for us as children and women of God, Tamara, to not to react to those things, not to allow the flesh to cause us to do things that we know is not pleasing in the eyes of God, because we are only shortchanging ourselves.
Right. It's in everything by prayer. Mm-hmm. And a few episodes ago, you mentioned that favorite scripture of yours when Jehoshaphat was going against that great army. And he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Lord, this great army is coming toward us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Yeah.
And so, ladies, let's keep, and any of you listening to us today, keep your eyes on the Lord.
Yes.
Take it to him in prayer.
And you know what I thought? You think this was the first time Hannah prayed?
No, I thought about that too.
No, this is a woman who was praying continually all these years.
Yes.
So I say, don't give up.
No.
We can all look in our lives, and I can, when I look back, and I'm like, God, I thank you for where you brought me from.
Yes.
I don't know how I did it, but it could only have been you.
You don't know how you get from point A to point G.
But it could have only have been you, God, that has brought me to where I am today, healthy and whole. So I just want to encourage anybody listening, don't give up.
Don't give up.
It doesn't matter how long you've been at this. Don't give up. You continue to trust in God. You continue to pray and keep your hands and your heart clean and watch God move on your behalf.
When we talk about Paul and Silas in prison, now they were in a dark place.
Yeah.
They were restrained. Mm-hmm. They didn't know whether they would get out alive. Mm-hmm. And they were in prison in Acts 16. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed.
Mm-hmm.
At midnight.
Yeah.
And sang praises unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open. And everyone's bands were loosed. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. and thou shalt be saved. And not only you, thou and thy...
Mm-hmm. See, yes, it's wonderful that the doors opened and the chains fell off. But the bigger miracle is that jailer.
Yes.
Who was saved. And not only him, but his entire family. And that's why it is so important for us, Tamara, to do our endeavor best to live a life pleasing before God. See, that praise and that worship soften that jailer's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And when he saw that they hadn't left, and Paul and Silas told him, don't be afraid, we are still all here.
Wow.
He bowed down and said, what must I do to be saved? Because they saw, he heard and saw the praise and thanksgiving and prayer that they were offering up. So when that time came, there must be a God. And he bowed down and asked them, what must I do to be saved? So we have a great calling on our lives,
yes.
not just for our families, not just for those who are close to us, but those who are looking at us from a distance.
Yes.
You don't know how many lives you are impacting by just living your life for God. So it's important to stay focused and to live for God. Each and every day.
What I like is there was prayer.
Mm-hmm.
There was praise and song.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving. and an earthquake hit, and things begin to change for the jailer.
And it shows, Tamara, that prayer not only change our circumstances, but it also change us and lives.
Yes.
Very important, very powerful.
Very. And so how do we get that to the next generation, Pam? Mm-hmm. How do we translate all of this to the next generation of prayers?
Live it out.
You have to live it out.
You have to live it out. And it's easier to start when children are young.
Yes.
I know from my experience, I don't have any children, but I'm very much involved in my nephew's life and was very much involved in my niece's life when she was younger. These children are like sponges.
Yes.
They soak up everything.
Yes.
I got a thank you note from my nephew. He's 9. On his 9th birthday, he wrote me a thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
And when I read it, he said, thank you, Annie Palm, for all the things you have done for me, the things that you will do for me in the future, right? And I chuckled. I'm like, where does this boy get it? And I remember my mom. He basically wrote out what he hear her say and pray. And so kids are like sponges and they soak it up. So the best place to start is with those little ones.
Yes.
Let them see you, parents and guardians, praying and living for God, and then you teach them that that's what they ought to do. And teach them that when you are in a difficult situation, just ask God to help you.
Yes.
No long prayer. Just ask God to help you and he will.
Yes. And thank God he works in the heart of children.
Yes.
I have a son who's on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And I always say, he has severe speech delay. Mm-hmm. So I always tell him, when it's difficult, mm-hmm. ask God to help you. And he will help you. And I encourage him in that affirmation mm-hmm. almost every day that mm-hmm. God is with him. Mm-hmm. So may every home become a living testimony that Christ reigns, that grace sustains, and that families who pray together glorify the God who hears and answers mm-hmm. according to his perfect will.
Yes.
Pam, can you close us in prayer, please?
Let us pray. Most gracious and heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for reminding us that prayer is the heartbeat of the family. Help us, Lord, to carry your presence into every moment, not just when we gather, but Father, when we go as well. Teach us to pray in the car, in the kitchen, in the quiet of the night, and in the noise of our days. Let us, Heavenly Father, find your peace in our home and your word echoes in our hearts. Father, may our children see prayer not as a duty, but Father, as a joy, a daily conversation with a faithful God. Father, keep the flames of prayer alive in us, Lord, so that every generation after us will know the power of your calling and prayer in our lives, Father. In Jesus' mighty and holy name, amen.
Amen.